Fidel Valdez Ramos, born on March 18, 1928, in Lingayen, the Philippines, is the 12th president of the Philippines and chairman of the Ramos Peace and Development Foundation. He won a government scholarship to the United States Military Academy at West Point and later studied engineering at the University of Illinois. He held prominent positions under both Marcos's and Aquino's administration. Under Mr. Ramos's administration, the Philippines enjoyed economic growth and stability. The Philippine Stock Exchange in the mid-1990s was among the best in the world. He is considered one of the most effective presidents in the Philippines' history. Mr. Ramos has received several military awards, including the Philippine Legion of Honor, the Gold Cross, Philippine Military Merit Medal, the United States Legion of Merit, the French Legion of Honor, and the U.S. Military Academy Distinguished Award. He is perhaps the most decorated Philippine soldier in history and one of the most decorated people of the Philippines of all time. During his time as President of the Philippines, Supreme Master Ching Hai went to the presidential palace, Malacañang, to ask for his assistance on behalf of the Aulaxis, or Vietnamese refugees, who were at that time refused refugee status by other countries, thus would face repatriation. In response, the president issued an order granting permanent residency to some 5,000 Aulaxis or Vietnamese refugees. For this great act of compassion and courage, in February 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai presented the Shining World Leadership Award to Fidel Ramos and often spoke of him with respect and tears of gratitude. She said, "He is a great man, kind and loving leader to his people and strangers. On his birthday, he'd spend his wealth and time with the poor." The former president has always expressed his appreciation for Supreme Master Ching Hai, as well as his admiration for her own work for peace. In his retirement from public service, which spans over 50 years, Mr. Ramos established the Ramos Foundation for Peace and Development, or RPDEV, in 1999. With the motto of caring, sharing, and daring, the foundations extend throughout the Philippines and the larger Asia-Pacific region to empower youth, support sustainable development and poverty alleviation, and develop democratic governance. Up to date, Supreme Master Ching Hai made several donations to support the noble endeavors of his organization. Prior to his planned visit to Formosa or Taiwan, Mr. Ramos expressed his wish to visit the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association Center in Taipei. Thus, on Saturday, February 21st, 2009, Mr. Ramos was warmly welcomed from the time of his arrival at the Taipei Airport to his formal reception at our association's Taipei Center in Formosa. Hundreds of our association members were honored to hail the arrival of this hero of peace and recipient of the Shining World Leadership Award from Supreme Master Ching Hai. Although she was not able to receive His Excellency personally, Supreme Master Ching Hai had asked our association members to extend her warmest welcome. Some of the 50 distinguished guests also present from the Philippines and Formosa included MECO Taiwan's Managing Director and Resident Representative Antonio I. Basilio, Chairman of the Clark Economic Zone, Rizalina S. Navarro, Executive Director of Ramos Peace and Development Foundation, Frumencio A. Lagustan, Alison Chow, Secretary of Department of East Asia and Pacific Affairs of the Formosan or Taiwanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and Formosa's Director General, Carl Min Koo. During his time in Formosa, the former president was asked to participate as a special and most honored guest in the conference entitled Act Now for a More Peaceful and Safer World. Supreme Master Ching Hai also had been invited as the guest of honor to speak at the conference, and His Excellency Mr. Ramos was delighted that she was able to speak with him via video conference to discuss their shared ideals for a more caring, sustainable world. We now invite you to join us for the rebroadcast of the video conference with Supreme Master Ching Hai and former Philippine President Fidel Ramos. Act now for a more peaceful and safer world. Held on February 21st, 2009 in Taipei, Formosa, or Taiwan.
President Ramos and honored guests have come to Formosa to grace Taipei Center. We have just shown our distinguished guests some of your celestial art creations. Master, in the past, people have strived to help political refugees, but now the focus turns on climate refugees. Master, in this critical time, how can we have a more peaceful and safer world? Could you and the President, Ramos, give us some suggestions on how we can act now to mitigate climate change and to save our planet? Here we have two questions for President Ramos and Master. First question, global climate anomalies show the influence from climate change in our world. According to the latest research, there are 2,000 islands at risk of being submerged. There are 25 million people uprooted in 2007 alone as climate refugees. What's your solution to the international crisis facing climate refugees?
Please, President.
Sir.
Beauty before age first.
Well, I'm not sure who's older than whom. I have never asked your age, sir, so I'm not sure. But as a statesman, I think you might have more experience in governing than I am. That's why, could you please answer this question? And any leftover that you have forgotten, maybe I can chip in.
Okay, I started earlier by citing a very simple example of what an individual and his family or her family can do. And that begins with wise and a sharing kind of consumption. Let us not waste anything in our households. Let us save for those that do not have as much as we have. And let us also spread the word about our common responsibility to our respective communities, our respective nations, and to the world at large. But let us accept that the fight against global warming, which leads to climate change, begins with the individual person and his or her family. Having said that, let me add that communities, whether a small village or a big province, must likewise cooperate in order that the national policy that will govern taking care of Mother Nature and thus preventing global warming and climate change becomes a generational, continuous national policy instead of being limited just to the one term of a president or a prime minister. And then after that, there is a new successor and the policy is reversed or overturned. That will not solve our global problem of climate change. The entire community of nations beyond that must learn to cooperate more closely because it is a threat to everyone's better future. Even if right now They may be very affluent. They may be very advanced. They may be even very self-sufficient. But in the end, Mother Nature will punish everyone unless now, today, we take responsibility for performing our duty to the world and to ourselves by protecting the environment. Overall, we need to network more and more at the level of governments and nations. But likewise, because this is still a very loose or uneven or unorganized kind of collaboration, the non-government organizations around the world, including the Supreme Master Qinghai Foundation and our own Ramos Peace and Development Foundation, plus thousands of others around the world, must close ranks and really apply pressure on those governments, big or small, that do not yet fully cooperate with the global protocol or convention or agreement on the prevention of global warming and therefore the prevention of climate change. The NGOs like us must collaborate even more closely than we have done before. And maybe we can lead the example for the governments themselves, if they cannot, on their own, because of so many political considerations, come to one agreement, and that is the protection of our mother planet Earth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Well said.
Master, could you be kind enough to share with us some of your ideas, please?
The president has said it all. And he is right that we have to work together with the government, provided the government accepts our suggesting ideas and even support. We also support the government if they let us. And I think all the governments should let us. Yes, some powerful NGO would have had more saying in the government's policy, more than the small group like us. But we are behind all of these powerful NGO. In any case at all, in any way we can, we help to support or doing anything possible to strengthen their power and to encourage their endeavor so that the government will work with all the people in order to protect this only home that we have. The president is right. We must unite together, all the people who care for the planet. And to let the government know that it's time to act, they have to be also awakened. The government should not be too busy submerging themselves in some of the issues, which might not be so urgent as saving the planet right now.
Thank you, Master.
And I think I have one more wish, that all the nations who has more favorable situation, like more land, more economically sound situation, must accept the so-called climate refugees, because they are truly refugees. Without any excuse, without any delay, all the big country, the able country, should help to settle them in their country, to support, to protect, and to afford them any possible means to make their new home or their nation within that nation. only doing that, we will truly show the spirit of brotherhood. We truly can proclaim that we are the light bearer of God. Any nation who has faith in God at all must help the weaker brothers and sisters. Especially, we are all responsible for global warming, including myself. Especially, we are all responsible for global warming, which caused their present predicament in any case, in the first place, which caused them to lose their home. So any able countries, please, we must help them and quick. We must give them land, we must give them economic support and all the moral support and anything at all to make them feel safe and at home again in the new territory. Thank you so much in advance. And thank you, sir.
Thank you, Master. Sir, if you could please, regarding political refugees to climate refugees, this is a very important worldwide issue. Could you give us some of your suggestions on the refugee situation?
The original Vietnamese boat people, after 1975, for a long period, were the examples of political refugees. In today's world, while many of these original political refugees have already been resettled and have become stabilized in their family and community lives, a new kind of refugee is being created because of global warming. First of all, those that are out there in the Pacific and Indian Oceans, subject to the ravages of global warming, which is manifested by the rise of the mean ocean level every day, by small increments, but in their totality, you see, they create floods and damage and death, of course, to so many of those living on small islands, those out there in the Pacific Ocean, those in the coastal areas of the Indian Ocean. I mentioned that in the case of the Philippines, this is our misfortune, because we are an archipelago of 7,107 islands during high tide.
That's right.
And then more islands appear during low tide. We are the second largest archipelagic nation in the world, next to Indonesia. And so we are not only concerned, but more concerned than others in regard to climate change because of global warming. We can visualize our large cities like Manila or Cebu or Davao, which are coastal communities, to slowly disappear as the level of the Pacific Ocean, and we're in the middle of that, as well as the level of the China Sea, and we're also in the middle of that, because the Philippines happens to be at the junction of these two great oceans, the Pacific Ocean and the South China Sea. And so, unless we ourselves provide and implement the protective as well as the preventive measures at this time now, it is foreseeable that maybe within one generation, much of our coastal communities will disappear under just 1 meter of the rise of the Pacific Ocean and the South China Sea. Fortunately for us in the Philippines, unlike the small Pacific nations out there, like Fiji, Vanuatu, Micronesia, Nauru, Kiribati, they have no more other areas to run to in case that ocean becomes higher and higher. They can only climb the coconut trees in order to survive.
Oh, God.
But in our case here in Taiwan, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines, there is still some high mountains to which to seek refuge. But, again, that will just be only temporary survival. In the end, if that water level keeps rising and rising, even the highest mountain will be submerged. But we don't have to wait for that condition to be reached.
That's right.
Because as I said, as the space becomes smaller and smaller, the food becomes less and less, and very soon there's only one glass of water remaining near the top of the mountain between my brother, this guy here on my right, who is always smiling, and myself. But we do not want that to happen. We don't want to reach that point. Because right now we can still do something about it if we collaborate more closely as governments and more closely as non-government organizations or NGOs. And for governments and NGOs within nations to collaborate even more closely than they're doing now.
Thank you. Dear Master, would you like to contribute as well?
Thank you, sir. I think the President has told you everything. He is very right. The situation is really urgent. And honestly, every day I'm worried as much as the President is about the fate of many people, such as the one in those small islands where there's nowhere to go. It's truly so desperate, and it must have been very scary for these people. And I don't know how to comfort them. I just don't know what else to do for them. I wish and pray all the able government and great nations, please help them. Please take them in your country and make them a nation there. After all, they're also human like us, and they suffer the way we do. Just put ourselves in their situation, then we will know how they feel. Suppose it's us. Suppose it's me. Suppose it's you who are in that situation. How would you feel? So please, great nations, able nations, please give them some piece of land. It won't be much. They are able people. They are dignified people. And suddenly they have become hopeless and beggars. But they will rise again, given that they have enough time and the comfort and a place to settle down. Then they will begin their life again, and I'm sure they will be a great contribution to your nations as well. Please, for God's sake, help these people before it's too late. We cannot just sit here and watch them drown.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, sir, reminding us of that.
Thank you very much, Master.
We do hope we do something so that we can stop the rising sea level the way it is right now and not getting worse, so that other nations can still help the already sinking nations. Otherwise, if we all sunk, then oh God help us.
Our following question. The whole world is now in economic recession with higher unemployment. Is it the right time to encourage the use of self-sustainable, simple organic farming techniques? Should we return to a more simple way of agriculture and encourage a loving plant-based diet? Sir.
Yes, in fact, we hosted in Cebu, in the central Philippines, last September, the Asia-Pacific Conference on Sustainable Production and Sustainable Consumption. We were not talking about long-term development as we pursue under the umbrella of the United Nations, pursuant to the UN's Earth Agenda 21, Agenda for the 21st Century. But we discussed very short-term measures in Cebu that have to do with producing with total efficiency a certain item needed by human beings must be the result of maximum efficiency so that nothing is wasted. At the same time, we must also change our patterns of consumption. Again, I go back to my simple model in our own home of eating everything on your plate and drinking every bit of water in your glass, because we must think all the time about the 51% of the world's people who do not have enough to eat. They do not get 3 meals a day, as you and I do, or 8 glasses of water. Maybe the food they may eat is coming from garbage, because they have to scavenge from the garbage can the food that they must eat. They have nothing else. And maybe the water they're drinking is dirty water, just, you know, drawn or picked up from the nearby river, which is already so polluted. So this is the condition of a majority of the world today. The UN says that more than half of the world's people are earning the equivalent of $1 a day. That's what? 47 Philippine pesos, or 34 New Taiwan dollars. It's so small as an average. And therefore, it's our responsibility who are more comfortable. And this is said in the Bible, and also in the Quran, and in the holy book of the Jewish nations, that it is our responsibility to prosper our neighbors if they are needy,
right,
if they are in want, if they are poor, if they are suffering, if they are deprived, if they are disadvantaged. We must look around us and see how the rest of the community are doing, are living, are existing. And surely, we all have neighbors who are very much more in need than we are right now where we are. So let's have a thought, next time we sit down for a meal, for those people out there who are not getting much on a daily basis. There are many countries where the average food intake is 3,500 calories, when what is needed is maybe for that age group, 2,500 calories. The rest of it is thrown away as garbage. And then maybe some people from the same country, from the same community, look through the garbage where that food was thrown to get their daily meal. This is, to me, inhuman already. So, the practical means of making sure that we consume wisely and produce wisely is to be simpler, to be more efficient, and to be totally cooperative. What happens to those that eat at the rate of 3,500 calories a day? They become overweight. They overwork their hearts. Their cardiovascular system does not flow efficiently because of high cholesterol blockage.
Right.
and they cannot exercise very much anymore because they become lazy. They feel sleepy.
Yeah.
Instead of being fit.
Right.
And energetic, like Supreme Master Ching Hai. She's all over. And she shows it. And the results of her advocacies.
Thank you.
And her humanitarian activities are evident everywhere. 17 centers here in Taiwan, Formosa alone. And so many more outside. And so each of us has a responsibility to last as long as possible on earth, so that we continue to be able to help our neighbors. In other words, we must also exist, survive, work, not for ourselves or for our immediate families, but also for others. This is why our foundation has adopted a very simple motto, three words: caring, sharing, and daring. Caring and sharing, very easy to do. But daring is so much more difficult, because that means daring to give more than to take. Meaning, daring also to enhance the environment instead of abusing it. Daring also means to take united action as people, as families, as nations, for the common good. And maybe just as important, daring in order to make a difference. So it all adds up to what this center is all about, and it also in equal manner is what our own foundation is trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. You are very daring, sir, also. You are really doing what you preach. Yes. Like many years ago, when the whole world say that the Vietnamese refugee must go home, nobody wants to accept them anymore. You are the only one that go against that trend, that you could have offended other nations, you could have offended other leaders, but you did it. You just let them stay in Philippines because you are daring. And you are the man of your word. And that's why we respect you so much. It's easy to say, not easy to do. You are the doer. And we are so honored to know you in this lifetime. You are a very good example of a true man. Thank you for being with us on this planet.
Dear Master, could you share with us also some insight on the same topic?
I will just chip in.
Thank you.
I will just pick up what the leftover maybe, or emphasize what the President has already said. You see, maybe some of you don't know, in 1995 even, long time ago, President Ramos has already talked about environmental protection. I'm sure he has done way before that. But as he wasn't a president, maybe his voice wasn't all that publicized. But in 1995, I remember there was a conference on population, environment, and peace. And the president has emphasized that there is a need, a real need, for a sustainable balance, if I quote it right, sustainable balance between man and nature, between development and the environment. You see, so President Ramos was very protective of the environment long before it became even a trend nowadays. His foresight, wisdom, has exceeded far beyond our present vision of the world climate change. He knew it before that. He saw it before that. So I think organic farming would satisfy this need that the president has mentioned back in even 1995, before we even make this global warming into a so-called fashionable trend. So I think the president has said that there's a need for a sustainable balance between man and nature, between development and the environment. I think the need will be satisfied with all the farmers change into organic farming method. In that case, we will be able to balance the need between our development and the environment, our need and sustainable planet. The benefit of organic farming is immense, including great advantage to both human health and the environment. Organic farming actually restores the topsoil and cleans the air and water supplies even. It is so much more benefit that we could not list them all in a few minutes. It is even good for animals, all beings on this planet, including even trees and land, in part because it does not use chemical fertilizer or pesticides, many of which are considered by the United States Environment Protection Agency and the European Union to be potentially cancer-causing and also depleting of our bees, colonies, and killing many other animals that we cannot even all name here. One of the US studies indicates that if the United States 1 million acres of produce farms went organic, then the risk of consuming dietary pesticides would be reduced by 97%. Can you imagine? Chemical fertilizer and pesticide runoff is also known to contribute to the ocean death zones. We are killing our planet by pesticides and chemical fertilizer. Now, scientific studies have found that organic farming not only reduces energy usage and produce less CO2, which helps lower greenhouse gases, but it actually allows the soil to absorb even 40% of presently in the air CO2 emission. Before we even invent any technology to reduce CO2, or before we even reduce all the cars and transportations, if we go organic, we reduce 40% of the current CO2 in the air already, and the daily emission. Now, furthermore, organic produce is free of genetically modified organisms, and its nutrient content is actually higher than that of conventional grown fruits and vegetables. It is for these reasons that we in our group use as much organic produce as much as possible. First, to encourage the organic farming to develop and progress and prosper more into a better trend for everyone to enjoy. Second, of course, is for our planet. And third, for our health and all that on this planet. I wish that all the governments in the world would encourage organic farming to save our world. Give them subsidies. Give them all the facilitated means in order for the farmer to continue the organic farming method. Because it's not only helping them, it's helping the planet and all the people. I'm sure if the government support organic farming, it will be a trend in no time. If the government lead the way with the message that this is how to be green and how to protect the planet, then the farmers would be happy to grow more vegan food. To spread the practice of organic farming would help in so many ways. The benefit of organic farming for human livelihood, for human health, and for animals' health, natural resources, and protection of our planet. All these benefits, we cannot even underestimate. We cannot even estimate all in here. Organic farming not only help to protect the planet, it will even help to eliminate hunger. So I just suggest vegan, organic, or organic vegan, if you don't like. Thank you very much, sir, for your good answer and for inspiring me for the further ideas of your answer, of the questions.
Thank you, Master.
You have to thank the President. He inspires me all that.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. President.
European Parliament supports reducing meat to lower greenhouse gases.
Call vote. Vote is now open.
Reduce your meat consumption or stop eating meat totally.
During discussions on greenhouse gas reduction goals, the Climate Committee of the European Parliament officially recognized livestock's contribution to global warming and recommended a reduction of subsidies to the livestock industry to curb methane.
My name is Jens Holm. I'm a member of the European Parliament. Please, be veg, go green, save the planet.
Master, regarding the organic farming in combination with a simple life, could you tell us more of that? A natural way of living, a more simple way of living?
As the President has stated, we have to be frugal, started from the table already. We should not eat too much. We should just eat enough, or even a little bit less. So that, number one, okay, physically and practically speaking, we can last longer. The more we eat, the less we will have, and other people will be hungry. And spiritually speaking, we should not eat too full. Even with vegetarian food, 80% full is enough, so that God's light and wisdom can be also filling our being with a better understanding about what to do with ourselves and how to help others and how to live a true humane life while we are on this planet. Without God's light and wisdom, we are reduced to merely mortal, working, eating, sleeping, producing children, and die. There's not much we can contribute to our great self and other people, meaning they are also great beings on this planet. So being frugal is the key. Being frugal meaning also we go organic and vegan, because this method will help to eliminate the excessive use of natural resource for producing meat and dairy products. And in that case, we will have enough to feed everybody and also reduce the CO2, reduce the methane, reduce all the toxic gas, even hydrogen sulfide. You know, the one that if you inhale it, when it's too condensed, you will die immediately. That is produced also by animal raising, livestock, and methane also. If we reduce the livestock raising, then we can reduce all the toxic gases that is, lingering in our air right now. And if we go organic, vegan, then everything will be back to normal before and even better. The weather will become better. Not only the ice stop melting, the toxic gas will be reduced, hunger will be eliminated, war will be done with, but also our planet will revive itself and will become even better than now, more lushful, more plentiful, more abundant for all to enjoy in clean air, peace, love, good health, and long life. Thank you so much. Hydrogen sulfide, yes, that is one of the toxic gases, deadly gases, which emitted from livestock. Yes. Another is methane. Another is, of course, CO2. And the methane can even trigger more CO2 if it warms the climate. Thank you so much. We can talk forever about this. But as the president said, we have to be frugal in all means. Frugal, yeah? Saving everything we can. And the best way, the quickest, is to be organic vegan. So encourage organic farming, be vegan. My humble opinion and after all the research. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Master. Thank you for this inspiring speech.
Vegetarianism in religion.
The Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. Selections from the Baha'i Writings of Some Aspects of Health and Healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra.
Cow die. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the Saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood, and if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adilila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata Anu.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone, except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been especially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutra Kritanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds in nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism. The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure. The supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants, I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
Everybody knows that vegetarian diet is good for health and to save the planet. They will be awakening their own great, compassionate, loving self-nature, and then their level of consciousness will rise up automatically, and they will understand more than they ever did, and they'll be closer to heaven than what they are right now. Thank you, sir. He inspires me, the president.
I think he inspires us all.
Yes, I'm so happy he came to Taiwan. My God, he honored us so much. And even come to our humble meditation center. I'm sorry I haven't got even a better place for you, sir. This is all we got. I mean, in some other cities, we have also meditation center. And in Europe, we have some one or two meditation center with about 20 rooms or something like that. And I could even afford a couple of rooms or all the rooms for you and your entourage. But in Taipei, I didn't even really have a very good center yet. I'm sorry that we have not treated you like God, the way you deserve. Thank you and forgive us. Yes, you inspire us all with your heroic spirit. Please do live long with us. Please do live among us long to inspire us further and to help the world. We need you now. We need your example. The daring, you know? Sharing is easier, as you said, sharing. Caring. You can show caring when you feel touched by some special situation, you know, now and again, individually. Sharing, okay, we have enough money, why not? We give a little bit, it's okay, it's easy. But daring, not everybody has it. Not everybody has it. It's very difficult to be daring. And yes. Please, be a shining example continuously. Be daring, you know, show everybody how to be daring. Thank you very much, sir.
Due to the president's tight schedule, we only had these two questions for the video conference, so we do apologize for that. Thank you, President Ramos. You often said, caring, sharing, daring. Today, the issue discussed is absolutely with a caring and sharing heart. You said in the past, if more people were daring enough, maybe the world would be a better world.
Yeah.
At the end, allow us to quote your speech ending, Ma Buhai, long life, as you gave us a perfect example and definition. Earth 2000, 3000, 4000, infinity.
Forever.
Let us please give a big round of applause to thank His Excellency and all the distinguished guests.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, all the honorable guests. May you be well, live long. May you be well, may you be very well, and thank you for coming to Taiwan. Thank you for visiting our humble center. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless the Philippines.
This concludes our presentation of video conference with Supreme Master Ching Hai and former Philippine President Fidel Ramos. Act now for a more peaceful and safer world on Words of Wisdom. And now please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for a journey through aesthetic realms. Coming up next, right after noteworthy news. May God bless our planet with peace, friendship, and harmony.